Hello, everybody. Welcome to Promptings with Cody B. It is a brand new year. Welcome to 2023. We're going to kick off this year with a bang. We've got an incredible guest on today. Her name is Teresa Savadago. My goodness, what an incredible interview this is. She's best known for her TED Talk that's titled Why You Should Talk Regularly with Strangers. And she did this talk in the fall of 2019, and shortly thereafter, it was promoted by Tim Ferriss to all of his followers, and she kind of became an instant sensation after that. Amazing, amazing speech on making connection with people, how to make genuine human connection with others, how to have genuine curiosity in people, go deeper with conversations with people, you know, ask permission to explore people's lives as you're getting to know them. And the thing that I was most impressed with Teresa is her genuine curiosity about humanity, her genuine curiosity about human beings and meeting them and trying to get to know their stories. She tells some amazing stories about that. There's no reason why that's the reason why her TED Talk went viral the way it did. She just has a very, very unique and simple approach to making connections with people. And of course, that's what we're all about here at Promptings. So we're going to come back in a minute with Teresa. So make sure you stay tuned, get your seatbelts on, get ready for a great show today. Again, welcome to a brand new year, everybody. We'll see you in just a minute. Tracy Savadago. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, Cody. So nice to hang out with you. This is so exciting. Thank you.
Did anybody ever tell you that your smile matches your glasses? Like your glasses smile just like your smile does, and it all blends together so beautifully. It just cheers us all up.
Oh, you know what? I intend to bring good energy. And so I'm so glad to hear that.
Well, you're doing it. You are certainly doing it, bringing good energy. We're so excited to have you on the show. My goodness, you know, your kind of claim to fame where I got to know you very well before I ever met you was listening to your TED Talk, the TED Talk, Why You Should Talk Regularly with Strangers, which kind of catapulted you out to the whole world. And now everybody's coming to you for speeches and all kinds of things, all off of one amazing speech, by the way, that you gave. So just right out of the gate, I encourage all of our listeners to go on YouTube and look up Tracy
Savadago.
Savadago. We were working on your last name pronunciation, Tracy Savadago. Just look her up on YouTube and check out the TED Talk titled Why You Should Talk Regularly with Strangers. I had the opportunity to listen to that prior to the show. My goodness, Teresa, wow. Here's what's interesting is you have a very, very, very unique approach on the stage. I noticed that immediately. Like a very unique approach that's a lot different than a lot of other speakers that you hear and very impactful. You were very real, very authentic. And it was like when you started to talk, I was invited into your front room to have a conversation. Like it was just, I just felt so welcomed by your approach. And I don't know if that's just something you come naturally by or if it's something you practiced. But, you know, you inspire people to make connection with other people. That's what the talk is about. But boy, the second you started speaking on the stage, I felt connection with you. So congratulations. That's a gift. That's a powerful gift you have.
Thank you so much. I think that a couple things that tie back to that is one, I'm from the Midwest. My dad was a traveling salesman, and the phrase in our house is I've never met a stranger in my life. Like friends are strangers you haven't met yet before. And the other thing is that I worked in the hospitality industry for a good part of my life, my early stage career. And so making people feel welcome, making people feel like they're a part of the process, and that engagement is really important. And then a key takeaway when I was writing my talk, you know, of course they pair the, one of the things about a TEDx talk, you know, I've been approached by a lot of people who say, hey, I want to do that. And so here's a nugget is that a lot of, they'll, if you work with a bigger TEDx, they'll actually pair you up with a coach. And, as I was writing, my talk, one of the intentions that I was coming up with is that it's a call to action that's built in. I don't want somebody to just watch me and talk about like how I talk to people. I wanted to leave a roadmap and some Easter eggs and some nuggets along the way. Like, here's what it looks like. And there's five different stories about why, like, people that we talk to, and I use those as examples of how people can talk to us strangers. And one of the things that was really important to me is that I don't want you to just watch me. I want you to kind of like take this away, make it your own, and like start having real conversations on your own. But this is what it can look like when it's done really, you know, really well and with a lot of practice. And I say that because even when I was a little kid, you know, because my dad was a traveling salesman, my dad, if I had a question, he would send me to a neighbor's house to go, you know, knock on the door. And so my brother and I, we had paper routes. I had to go knock on their door to collect money. I was a champion Girl Scout cookie seller, mostly because I really liked going door to door and being invited into people's houses and kind of meeting them there. And so this idea of meeting people on their turf and kind of getting curious about them, that's something that I've been doing for a very long time, but then also it's a skill, right? And with all skills, you can get better at it. So I read a bunch of like networking books, and then, as you say, like eventually you make it your own, right? And so I think that's,
I gotta tell you, that's an inspiring story to hear about. You know, what your dad had you do when you were a kid to go and interact with other people to learn things. So from a very early age, you were in a, your dad created, this is what I heard you say, your dad created an environment where you had to engage other people, and you had to, you know, there was something conscious about creating connection with other human beings. Does that sound accurate? Is that a good recap?
Yeah. And I'll give you an example. So for instance, my dad wasn't a big guy who loved the library. He would say, if you want to know something, go ask the person doing it. And wow. So as an example, even when I was maybe in the third or fourth grade, I had a paper that I needed to do on Wyoming or whatever. And my dad made me call the Chamber of Commerce and asked them to send me a bunch of stuff. Wow. And they sent me like a big packet of information. And so but another example, when I was, I don't know, six or seven, we took a big road trip down to Florida, and my brother was fascinated with semi trucks as we were driving down the road. And my dad, this was back in the day when he had a CB radio in his car, my dad, you know, befriended a trucker as we're driving from, I don't know, Indiana to Kentucky. And they made an agreement to pull off on at a particular mile marker, and then threw my brother in the cab of the semi. And then we drove for 30 miles or whatever. And so this idea that strangers are friends you haven't met yet, and then getting curious and following your curiosity, is a big part of how we grew up. And you know, like if we went for a drive, and I loved horses when I was a kid, my dad would stop at a farm that had horses, meet the owner, because the owner's like, why is this person driving in my driveway? And, oh, my daughter really likes horses. Can she pet them? And then he'd slip them $20 and say, hey, why don't you throw a saddle on that? She'd really like to go for a ride. And that kind of thing is how I grew up constantly doing. And I didn't really quite realize how special that was. But I've since realized to double click on that. So for instance, if I'm reading a book and I have questions, I'll reach out to the author. Or if, you know, when I wanted to, you know, we were talking before the show about some people that I've met.
Well, I tell you, it's again, you talk about this in the speech, get the rest of the story from people. Now I'm getting the rest of the story from you as to your upbringing. And it answers a lot of questions for me of how you come across on the stage, the way you do that instant connection that you make with people. And again, how you should talk regularly with strangers, make sure you go and listen, because you will, when you watch Trace speak, you're going to see what we're talking about. And it's interesting to get the rest of the story because, you know, from a very early age, you were taught to go create these connections. So I can see where you got, it became very natural to you because it's something you did from a very early age. And when you watch the speech, folks, I'm telling you, you're going to see exactly what we're talking about. In fact, you know, I had a lot of really, really cool takeaways from your speech. One of the first ones that really hit me, you told a story about the woman you met that had the scar. And one of the things that really hit me is when you said, can I ask you about your scar? And then later on, you talked about the importance of asking permission to ask a question or to ask about them. And that really hit me because it was like, what a way to break the ice. You know, it's like, it's very hard to offend somebody if you ask them permission to do something. So that really caught me as a great golden nugget for me to learn from. So talk to us a little bit about that. Can I ask you about what a great way to approach somebody when you want to get to know them?
Yeah. So the story is about a woman. She's since become a friend of mine. Her name is Jana. And Jana had this big gnarly scar on her chest, but she wore a V-neck shirt. And so a lot of times people who have injuries like that, they're trying to hide them. And she wasn't trying to hide that. So I thought, oh gosh, that says something really special about her and her approach to this. And she is so she ended up, she had the flu and she ended up having heart surgery and she ultimately ended up needing a heart transplant. And what happened was, the thing about the scar that I thought was really interesting is that she wasn't trying to hide it. She was making it a part of her story. Right. But to your point about asking questions, what I've learned, a really key thing about asking questions is, so I can be a heat seeking missile. I'll notice something. So I'm a photographer too. So, and a writer. So one of the things that I do is I'm always like kind of studying things in a way that, I'm not missing the details. Right. But one of the things that can put people off a little bit is when you notice something that's so deeply personal to them that they don't even realize that you're paying attention to. Yeah. So what I've come to find that's really helpful is to put bumpers on your question. Hey, I'm curious. Can you tell me about that thing? Or I'm wondering, or, oh, that's so cool. I have a friend who does that. What's your story around this? And, or what's your take? So that bumper really kind of helps the medicine go down. Yeah. It gives you permission to go a little deeper, and it gives that kind of like warm and friendly vibe, as opposed to coming at it directly and just asking a question that can really throw people off.
Just the whole approach, you know, when you think about it, tell me about your scar versus can I ask you about your scar? I mean, there's a big difference between that approach.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really powerful, valuable lesson for all of us to learn. I know that a lot of conversations I've had with people over the years has to do with tattoos. I really love tattoos. And the reason I love tattoos, I don't have any myself, but I love people that have tattoos because there's usually a story behind whatever tattoo they have. So I always like to ask people about their tattoos, but I like that approach. Can I ask you about your tattoos? And let me tell you, if you meet people, you probably have stories about this. I'm sure you do. But if you meet people that have these tattoos, man, if you can get to ask them the story behind their tattoos, I've heard some of the most incredible life stories about people's tattoos. And this is a great way to make connection.
Yeah. The way I look at tattoos is it's almost like the story of their life is on the exterior of their body. Yeah. Right? Because oftentimes they don't have just one, you know, it's a cycle, right? Once you get one, you want another one, you want another one. And it starts putting together a narrative, right? And that asking permission to ask about the tattoos, what's interesting is they have them on the outside of their body, but they're so deeply personal.
Yeah.
That sometimes people are a little bit thrown off by the fact that you even notice their tattoos because they stop noticing their own tattoo, right? It becomes so embodied in them that it's like, oh, wait, somebody's paying that close of attention to me. How, like, you're noticing that, it throws them off a little bit sometimes. And it's also often deeply personal. So I always just ask, I often ask, like, hey, what's the story about your tattoo? And sometimes the story is about the narrative. And sometimes I've talked to some people who, one woman, she found a tattoo artist that she really liked. She had to get on the waiting list for a year and a half. And then she flew to Singapore to go get work done by this person. And since then it's become this big thing for her to have a collection of this guy's work, you know? And so even just how they get it, where they get it, you know, like it's not just about the story of the tattoo itself. It's like the motivation behind it. That's also really interesting.
So as we sit and listen to you talk, it's just amazing how interested in people you seem to be. I mean, you're just very interested and curious about people's lives, which I think is valuable. It's a valuable lesson for all of our listeners to pay attention to, you know, be interested in people when you meet them, you know, seek for the deeper story. In fact, another takeaway from your talk, your TED talk, is the magic of a conversation happens when you decide to go deeper. That was another real big takeaway. You know, I had to pause and write that down. The magic of a conversation happens when you decide to go deeper. And I think that ties to your curiosity. You're just genuinely curious about people. And you make a conscious decision, and you teach us in your speech to make a conscious decision to go deeper with people. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that's really important because ultimately, everybody wants to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be valued. How often does that really happen?
Yeah, for right? sure.
I mean, I'm having the experience right now of somebody that's paid deep attention to my talk that I did almost 3 years ago. And I'm like, wow, this is really amazing. I worked really hard on that talk, and I'm loving that somebody is paying that much attention to something that was important to me. And so, and I think that we have the opportunity to do that for other people, right? That to me is the gift of humanity. And so what are you noticing? What can you bring into the conversation? How can you go deeper? So for instance, like one of the things that I love is even just noticing people's background, right? Like you have eagles in your background. What does an eagle mean to you?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, so what does ego mean to you? Yeah. Like, obviously, it's important.
Yeah. See, so you can tell how well trained you are on doing that. You naturally notice things around me. And those that know me in our environment here, eagles, I do have a big story around eagles. In fact, we have a direct sales company called Promptings and Send Out Cards. And the top rank is actually called Eagle. And there's a real story behind that. In fact, just to tell you, we started the whole promptings movement because long time ago, I had a prompting that I needed to go say bye to my brother before we moved away from home. And I ignored the prompting and we moved away. And 2 months later, I got a phone call from my mother saying he had been killed in an accident. So I had ignored a prompting to say bye to my brother. I'd never get a chance to do it again. So I made a promise to my brother that I would act on my promptings when I got them. And usually a prompting is an intuitive thought to reach out in kindness to somebody. That's usually what it is. And so I just promised him, hey, when I receive these promptings, I'm going to act and I'll try to do all I can to help as many people as I can do the same thing. And that's where the whole, that's the story behind promptings. It's the story behind send out cards and what we do. And so I told that story all over the world and in over 300 live events all over the world over the last 18 years. And my brother, when he passed away, he was 29 years old. But one of the legacy that he left is that he was in the Boy Scouts of America program and he became an Eagle Scout. And then he became a Scout Master and he helped 29 young boys earn their Eagle Scout badge. And he did that before he was 29 years old. So that is the reason we created Eagle as the top rank in honor of my brother, Chris, who was always an Eagle. So in fact, this Eagle you see right behind me, down on the bottom of it, it says always an Eagle, which is something my brother used to always say. When a Boy Scout started in his scouting program at the lowest rank, he would meet with the boy and say, I want you to remember that you're an Eagle and you will always be an Eagle. So he was planting into the minds of these kids before they even started that they were Eagles. And then he would coach them up through the ranks until they became Eagles. So, and then every time they gave the badge to his scouts, he would give them a pocket knife that had it inscribed on it, always an Eagle. So always an Eagle is a big thing with me. I mean, I have it all over the place. That's in memory of my brother. So you asked, I told you the rest of the story. So that's kind of how.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I love that. One, now I'm curious about Eagle Scouts, right? Like, cause I know that's quite an accomplishment. And so I'm like, okay, I can't wait to do some research. What's an Eagle Scout? but I also really love this idea of planting seeds. And I think that that's something that when we talk about meeting people and seeing the greatness within them, oftentimes they don't see it, yeah, right? Or they don't have enough people recognize that. Yeah, and so how do we plant the seed of greatness in people or like call out something amazing that we see about them? So, and I'll give you a great example of that. So I was working with Capital One and I did a series with them. And I curated the group and I had a friend of mine, she was doing the instructing about, you know, money and wellness and all this kind of stuff and the mindset around money. And we were wrapping up one day and, you know, we basically would meet in a boardroom. We had, I don't know, 15 people there, 90% of the people I brought. And one of the things she said to me, she said, "You're a really great leader." And I looked at her like, "Doink, doink, what are you talking about? I'm just gathering people." And she said, "Oh my, you don't know that you're a leader?" And that moment has been what they, in photography, they call it a defining moment. That was a moment where I was like, first, I had to accept that, like, oh, I guess I am. I didn't even really connect that idea to me. But then the other part of that that's really important is I started to think, like, if I'm a leader, then me not knowing that feels really irresponsible.
Interesting.
Right? And if I'm going to be a leader, how do I be a great leader?
Yeah.
Right. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it really, really well. And so I started, you know, training and reading and trying to get up to speed and, you know, thinking about the intention, like, who do I want to be when I come in the room? What's the impact that I want to have on people? And so your work really ties in very well with that, is like, I want to honor the greatness in others, right? And sometimes they don't even see it for themselves. So we all have an eagle inside of us. Who's calling that out and who's adding fuel to that fire? Like, I absolutely 100% want to spot it. And I want to add fuel to that fire in a huge, huge way if I can.
Boy, that's powerful. That's very powerful. In fact, I have a very similar story to that. Early in my career, I sold long distance services to direct sales companies, and they would invite me to go out to their events and talk about our services and have them get on our service. So I'm a storyteller. So I'd get on the stage and I would just tell stories about, you know, good lifestyles and stuff. And then I'd talk about our service as a way to connect with people. And then I'd sit down and people would come sign up for the service. So this was early in my career. And Bob Proctor's wife, Linda Proctor, was one of the top reps in one of the companies that I represented. And I gave one of these speeches one day. And after the speech, Linda Proctor walked up to me and she said, "Cody, I want you to know that you are a very gifted speaker." And it changed. That moment changed my life forever, because I did exactly what you just said. From that day forward, I was like, if Linda said I'm a great speaker, then I guess I'm a great speaker. So I got to go learn how to be a great speaker. And I did exactly what you said. I started to study on how I could be a better speaker and things that I could do to help share messages with the world. And since then, I started this worldwide movement called Promptings, which has required me to speak on stages all over the world. That came from one prompting that Linda Proctor had. She had a prompting to come tell me I did a great job, and it changed my life. You're talking about promptings that you have to reach deeper with people. And when you do, it changes their life. That in the pre-show, we talked about you and I being connected with our message. And that's how we're connected with our message, because we're saying the same thing. You're saying, look, take genuine interest in people and let them know you're interested. Well, letting them know you're interested, that's acting on a prompting. And you have no idea the impact you're going to have on another human being's life by simply being interested. And that's why I love you so much, because of that message you give.
Yeah. And I keep thinking about, like, imagine Rob Proctor's wife. Imagine if she wasn't at that event.
Yeah.
Imagine if she never saw you. Imagine if she didn't go across the room and say something, like, she was there, but imagine if she didn't say anything, right? Or decided I'll do it later and forgot about it. Like, I think that this notion around a prompting is so important, because one of the things that I think about in terms of that, so like, I can work a room like nobody's business. I just say hi to everybody. I don't even need to know them. I just say, "Hey, have you two met? I don't know these two people, but I'll just say, have you met? No, we haven't. Okay, cool. Here, you guys talk to each other and I'm out of here. I'll go find somebody else." But one of the things that I think about is like an overview of a room, right? And you see people kind of moving around and like those near misses, like the person that you walk by could have changed your life, but you never said hi.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you were on your phone, or you were like more concerned about like something else, right? And so those near misses, and I think about those all the time. Like, what would happen if? So, like a great example. I used to go to this coffee shop, and I was coming in the door. This man was coming out, and I, you know, gave him a big hi. And then I saw him the next day when I came back for coffee. He was sitting at this shared community table, and I was like, I want to know him better. So I sat at the table, and we wound up becoming like he was a huge investor and, you know, would just spend time away from home, being able to like work on his portfolio and stuff like that. That man changed my life in a really profound way. And it was like, I just decided I'm going to sit here. But I noticed him from the day before. If I didn't notice him, like I wouldn't have been curious and then pulling on that thread some more. So I think that that's also really important is like, what are you noticing? How do you like actually just, you know, take that prompting, as you said. And I want to share something with you. I love your product, actually. And I went to a conference. I was speaking at a conference. There were a bunch of other people there. And I was the first person to go. And it was really funny because when I walked off stage, the event organizer said, "You're the least known person here, but you killed it." And I was like,
"Wow.
Okay, well, thank you." And
thanks for that inspiration. Yeah.
Right. But the other speakers in the room, they kept like during the conference, they kept peeling me off like, "Hey, listen, you got something. And I want you to know that." And what happened is I got home and then I got this card from Jordan Adler. And I was like, "Oh, man." And what was awesome about it, I love it. He took pictures with the people who organized the event. And then he took pictures with the other speakers, but not me. And he's like, "I'm kicking myself for that ever since." And then, you know, we've become friends as a result of this, like sending me this card. And then he introduced me to you. And so, I mean, it's really beautiful that he took that moment to go the next level, right? And I love people who actually have the courage to take the next step and who call you into their life, right?
That's where our messages are so much in alignment. I mean, Jordan is a master at acting on promptings, and he told me the story about meeting you there. He told me he had a very strong prompting that he needed to send you that card. And he told me the story of when you received it and how emotionally attached you were to the message. In fact, tell us about like when you received the card, what was the emotion you went through?
Oh, man. So I'll tell you, I was kind of having a down day. And, you know, and that part about you're the least known person, yeah. Like even that really stuck with me, right? And I was like, what am I going to do about that? Do I really want to do it? You know? So I was all in my head. Right. And I was thinking, do I really make a difference? What kind of difference do I make? And I got this card and I immediately started crying and I called him and I left him a message and I said, "Listen, I want you to know the impact," like I'm getting choked up right now. "I want you to know the impact that your work has, because this just like came at the perfect time in the perfect moment and the perfect way." And it really expanded my worldview. And I'll tell you, he sent me another card. I have it right here. I have a fantasy of going to Necker Island on one of Richard Branson's like think tank weekends. I talk about that in my talk, and I've since been invited to go and I haven't gone yet, but he took the time to collect all of the photos of the times that he's been to Necker Island and send me a card. I'm like, okay, you have no idea how much I want to send a card like this out to like everybody I know. I'm like, Richard, I'm coming for you, man. Because I want to send one of these too. But it's just, you know, it expanded my view. It just made me feel really seen, heard, and just, you know, like how often do we see pictures, but then we don't get to touch them, you know? And like these actually, I never put them away. Like I knew exactly where they were in my house when we were getting ready to talk. And I was like, I'm going to show those photos. It's amazing. Totally amazing.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it very much. Yeah, that's what we do here. And again, that started back in 1989 when my brother passed away. I made a promise to him that I would act on my promptings and help others do the same. And it took us a lot of years to figure out how to do that. You know, in fact, when that whole story happened, it was pre-internet time. The internet really wasn't even out yet. So there was really no simple and easy way to act on a prompting, you know, that would leave a lasting impact. But as the internet got going and stuff, I had this vision, man, if there is a way that you could send a greeting card over the internet and have some kind of service print the card for you, stuff it, stamp it, and mail it for you, that would be a really fast, easy way to act on a prompting and share your message of kindness with somebody in a way that would last. And keep in mind, that was before social media too. Like, there was nothing like it back then. And so it's been kind of fun to watch how that's transpired over the years. Again, we're taking what you do every single day, and we just have a system that allows you to put it into a written format with pictures behind it and send it in the mail to somebody so that they remember the thought you had about them forever. And so it's that's why I love what you're doing, because it's so in alignment with what we're doing. So,
yeah. Hey, Cody D, I wanted to share something with you. So I have a really good friend of mine who works in the end of life space. And one of the things that so a lot of people die with regrets, right? And one of the things that I love about what you do is this is the opportunity to say all the things that you want before somebody passes, right? Yeah. Like, how can you capture everything you'd want to say at a funeral? Like, it makes no sense to me that we say the best things about somebody when they're in a box in the front of the room and they can't hear it, right? So yeah. I love taking a moment to even just go through my own mailing. Like, so it's not about just me meeting people. It's like, how do you maintain that, right? And how do you like create something special as a result of the initial connection? And one of the things that I love to do is send letters and tell people, like, listen, this is the impact that you had on me. And this is how I am not the same human being that I was before I met you. Wow. And I encourage people, because I worked in the end of life space, people can die. Like, as my brother died suddenly too. And, you know, you never know when you're never going to get that chance again. So I would encourage people to take an opportunity to say all of those really awesome things about people and just like, think about it like a treasure chest. Like, I'm going to put it all in one letter and I'm going to send it. And I mean, we're in the new year, right? And I would encourage people to say, can you send one a week? Like, just one, right? One.
Yeah.
Over the course of a year, that's 52, right? Like, talk about 52 people in your life knowing exactly how you feel about them. What a gift.
I love how you do that. You, like you said, when we started the interview, you like to have calls to action when you speak. You just did it again, you know, 52 messages a year. In your speech, you talked about meeting people on average 3 times a day. I mean, yeah. That is a specific call to action. Go meet 3 people a day. And you did that for a long time, which, you know, I don't know, you've probably met thousands of people just because you had a little routine.
Yeah. And I think I love what you said in your book about habits too, right? That they become habits. And my intention is to meet 3 people a day. Sometimes I meet 30, 50, you know, yeah. Like if I'm at the right event, right? I meet tons of people. And so how the question that I started asking myself is like, who am I calling into my world? You know, and how can I be more intentional, more purposeful about the people that I'm calling into my world? So, you know, if I wanted to write a book, can I talk to an author? Like, is there an author that will, you know, I can hear more about their experience? But again, this is like ACE networking, right? Like, be more interested in them. Like, I'm so curious about, you know, I love Malcolm Gladwell's books. What, I'm so curious about everything that got edited out. Like, what's on the cutting room floor, right? There's, and what does he read on a daily basis? I'm so curious, right? But, yeah. And so extending that curiosity to people that you actually really want to engage with, you know, I think it's so interesting, you know, to your point, right? One of the things that I also really look at is, you know, when somebody dies, like that's famous or whatever, and people go to social media and they mourn them. And I always think, did you ever send them a letter? Did you ever reach out to them and tell them exactly how much they meant to you? Like, you're sad now, but you had a shot.
Yeah.
You, so like, you know, I was telling you before we got on about, I was at this dinner party and these friends of mine were talking about how, you know, if you could have dinner with anybody, who would it be? And Anthony Bourdain's name kept coming up. And so I went home that night and I followed a prompting and I was like, who is this guy, Anthony Bourdain? This was years ago. And I found an email for him and I sent an email and invited him to dinner, because we had these regular dinners and they were completely epic. And I got about a month later, I got a response back and his producer wanted to come and film one of our dinners. And I was like, okay, cool. You know? And so that prompting led to a whole host of things, including having dinner with Anthony Bourdain. And it's just like eight of us at a table. And you know, now he's gone. And I will have that memory for the rest of my life.
Isn't that something? What a great story. Just incredible. Well, I got to tell you, Teresa, you are the master of human connection. And that's it's wonderful to see. I love your stories. It's just amazing to be able to connect with you on the show here today. Just appreciate the time and effort that you put into being with us. I always like to close the show by just giving you the floor. You know, I've been asking you questions and whatnot, and just give you the floor. Any final words of wisdom or thoughts or stories that you could share with our audience? That's how we'll close out. So the floor is yours.
Well, I think this idea around missed opportunities and regret is a really big one. And even just thinking about, you know, who would you be really sad that you didn't get a chance to say goodbye to, or to say something like, hey, you meant so much to me. I honestly get up every day and I think about like, who made an impact on me? Why do I do this thing that I do? Oh, that's because Patty taught me. Or why do I do this thing? Like, you know, I gave a talk the other day and it went really well. And the very first thing I did was email the people that had helped me along the way to try and figure this thing out that I was working on. And so, you know, I think that we all want to be appreciated and we all want to have other people add fuel to our fire. Who is actively adding fuel to your fire? And how can you like tap them and let them know? You know, I think so many things go unspoken. And that's where, you know, like me at having worked in that end of life space for a while, one of the things that I realized is that the regrets that people have at the end of life are all the things you didn't do, all the things you didn't say. Well, today is that day that you have the opportunity to say those things now and not live with that regret. So make a move. Like it's on you, you know?
Absolutely. Teresa, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate you so much. God bless you for all that you're doing in the world. Keep doing what you're doing. It's what's cool to watch people like you is I talk about having inner promptings and outer promptings. The inner prompting that we have is that inner voice that tells us who we are. The outer prompting is what we do with who we are. It's how we reach out to other people. Your inner voice obviously you listen to very, very well. You are making a huge contribution to the world. You're following that voice. You're being authentic to the true you and what you're about. In fact, there was one other, I love this quote in the TED Talk. You said you're going to take an active role in the randomness of your own life. I love that. I thought that was so cool. I'm going to take an active role in the randomness of my own life. To me, that's following your voice and living your life the way that you are meant to live your life. And the only person that knows how we should live our lives the way that we know we should live our lives is ourselves. You know your uniqueness. You know your genius better than anybody else does, and you're offering it to the world. Thank you for that. All of our listeners, you know your genius before anybody else knows your genius. Listen to it. Just listen to it and dare you. I triple dog dare you to just be you and offer who you are to the world, because we need you. We need each of you. Be an follow the example that Trace offers us. And again, God bless you and thank you for all you do.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Take care, and we'll see you on an next episode. We do this every single week, so come on back, and we have incredible guests like Tracy every single week. So we'll look forward to seeing you again. Take care, everybody.